Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Sanhedrin Mem Aleph, we begin on Mem Amud Beis, three lines off the bottom, discussing the concept of warning. Sahasra, where we pre-warn an individual who's about to do an Avera. How do we know that's required? How do we know that's a prerequisite for the Beis Din being able to apply a punishment against this person? First he has to be warned, and then he can be punished. Amar ula minayin lahasra min haTorah. Let's look for a source in the Torah that there must be a warning issued beforehand. Shenamar v'isha sheikach hasachoyis bas ova bas imoi v'ro'a sarvasa. He gets involved with his sister. V'ro'a, Pasuk uses the lashon v'ro'a, es erva sa. So he gazed at her. Erva, ato b'ri'a talia mosa. So, is that the reason for him to be liable? For misa, just the ri'a? Ella, rather, the Pasuk here is hinting to something more. V'ro'a means it becomes clear to him the significance, the weightiness of what he's about to do. He's going to be chayiv if he is warned beforehand. Look, this is what you are getting involved in. Tremendous isser, which involves misa, which involves severe punishment. Now, the einish that applies by achoisai is kares, which is really something that doesn't require hasra, because Hashem knows. Hashem does not have to resort to that technical step of the Edom warning this person in order to give him kares. Hashem knows what's going on, and we can't apply punishment unless we can be sure that he did this willingly, knowingly, with full awareness. But Hashem knows without the Asura process what was in this person's mind. Says the Gemara, imeinu in the Karas, and therefore if it's not really applicable to the Misa of Karas, which comes by way of heaven directly, you don't need Asura for that. Tineu in the Malkus, let's apply it to the punishment of Malkus. And Rashi says that actually Malkus is something that can happen by interacting physically with a sister, because it's based on the Gemara and Malkus. Even an Isra, an Avera, which generates Kares, but if he was warned to Malkus, he will get Malkus. So Malkus is applicable in this case as well, theoretically, and therefore we learn that the Hasra mentioned in this Pasuk, or alluded to in this Pasuk, hinted to in this Pasuk, is indicating to us that Malkus can only come by way of Hasra beforehand. Dvei Chizki Atana, and Dvei Chizki, they had a different source. V'chi Yazid Yishal Reyeyu, Laharga Biyarmo. So a person willingly killed somebody. V'chi, the word v'chi tells you, Shishra, but he was warned. V'adayinu meizit, and still he stuck with it, knowingly and willingly. Durei b'shmol tana, at a different source from there. Hamoitzim oisim kosh eitzim, so they discovered this fellow who was Machal Shabbos in the Midbar, he was gathering wood. Why does the Pasuk call him a mekosh eitzim, which sounds like he's still doing it? It's a past event, it happened. He wasn't continuously doing this. The answer is Shishra boy Vadain Hu Mekoshesh. The answer is the Pasuk is telling you that he was being warned and he still insisted on doing it. It's describing the chain of events of how this came about. He was being warned and still insisted. So you see that Hasra is a precondition. The very Rabbi Tana and the base manager of Rabbi had a different source. From the Chiv skill that applies to a person who interacts physically with a Nara, a girl who is Murasa, engaged, Al Dvar Asher Ina. What does Dvar Asher Ina mean? Aliske Dibor, he's only chai because of words that preceded his act. So we have many sources for Asra, Tzrich, and they're all needed. Because Rachman Achoisi, the Torah only mentioned that interacting with a sister, which generates Kares and Malkus, right, only comes about through Hasra. I mean, I would think Shchaivi Malkus in. Okay, Malkus isn't so severe, and that requires Hasra, but Chayav Misa is loy, but a person is really liable to Misa Bezen. That's a very severe situation, and perhaps you don't need Hasra for that. Because Rachmana ki Yazid, that takes us to Reitzeach, a murderer, who's Chayiv Misa and requires Hasra. Because Rachmana ki Yazid, the Torah only said that. Havamina would say, well, Hani Mili Saif to kill. That's because a murderer gets killed by Saif, by sword, which is relatively light contrast to the other punishments. Aval skilo adi chamura, but skilo, which is a more severe punishment, emeloi, perhaps hasroi is not required in that case. Tricha, that's why we need all these psukim. And we conclude with Mechalal Shabbos, who's skilo, nar murasa skilo, to teach us that hasroi applies even to skilo. Well, why do we need two psukim by skilo? One is nar hamurasa, one is Mechalal Shabbos, b'tarati b'niskol, lamali, why do we need a repetition by skilo? Answer is, Rabbi Shimon, who says that Sreifa is more severe than Skila in the scheme of things, Lasuya Nisraf, so the extra pasuk includes Sreifa as well. The Rabbanim who say that Skila is more severe than Sreifa, then you don't really need a pasuk for Sreifa because it can be learned from a Kal Vachomer. Look, if Skila has this requirement, certainly Sreifa, which is lighter. The answer is Milsa. This happens sometimes that the pasuk would stipulate something which can be derived from a Kal Vachomer, such as over here. Milsa, you never know, maybe the Kal Vachomer is a little faulty. The Torah actually has to spell it out. Milsa the asub kavachim, something that can theoretically be derived from a kavachim, a torach because of the lakroi, you still find that the Torah would stipulate it. Asks the Gemara, well, let's go the other way. Why shouldn't the Torah just write the more severe punishment and still there is asrua required, and certainly the more lighter conditions? Let the other ones, when they come and learn from it. If skila requires asrua, certainly a lighter form of punishment has more conditions and more requirements. Hachanami, once again, the same thing as before. Milsi, the Asa Kavachimer, a halacha that can be learned from Kavachimer, at times, Torah, because of Lakro, we find it in the Psuk. Hitaratz Malamisa. So the Bezin, one of the questions they asked the Edom, did this fellow who perpetrated the crime avail himself to death? Meaning, did he sort of accept death upon himself? Yes, I know, I'm fully aware that I will be exposing myself, making myself susceptible to Mises Bezin. Minolan, how do we know this is a requirement? The pasuk says, "You must amaze." Through their testimony, the mace will be put to death. You must amaze. That's a double lashon to teach us. It only works if the mace actually verbally acknowledged the impending death that will be applied to him through the bezdin. So we have his awareness. We have his very clear awareness. Very clear. Making himself, availing himself to the Misas Bezin, being careless and unconcerned. Amar Rav Chanan, here comes an interesting Gemara, interesting Chiddush. Eidei Nara Amuras. Okay, so let's say we have two Eidim. Alleged that a man was involved with a Nara Amuras, which basically would generate Misa on him, on her. Also would no longer allow her to be with her husband, would make her lose her Ksuba payments, right? Turns out they were just fakers, shuhuzmu. They were edim zemimin, which typically triggers a reciprocal punishment to them. Whatever they intended on putting on her, they get. So you would think they try to kill her. They get killed. No, ain't erogan, they don't get killed. Because they can claim, lo isra balabonu. We weren't coming to kill her. That wasn't our intention. We were just trying to forbade her on her husband. Right? There are two separate ramifications to their testimony. Killing her, and also making her usher on their husband. We didn't realize there's Misa. So we weren't really trying to do that. Interesting point, even though consequently, even though circumstantially, right, she would have died had they not have been proven false, but that wasn't their plot. That wasn't their intention. Asks, well, what do you mean it wasn't their intention? They warned her that they're going to get Misa, that she's going to get Misa. Well, Asherba, how can they say they weren't aware of the fact that she, the way Asherba was speaking, that they didn't warn her? Well, if that's the case, nothing to talk about. Milo Asherba, if they didn't give her a warning, hey Chemiktel, why would we even consider killing her? Bisha Chavir, we're speaking about an educated woman who doesn't need to be warned, because we assume she already knows, and she's fully aware of the consequences of what she's doing. Valiba the Rishi, who says that Hasra is only required to a person, by a person who isn't necessarily aware the severity of his actions. The Sani will enter a Braisa, Rabbi Sabrida Aimer, and Chavir, and Tzerach Hasra, a learned man does not need to be pre-warned before committing a sin. The whole point of Hasra is not just part of the procedure, part of the, right? Part of the, it's trying to bring out, trying to confirm that he's doing this willingly. Well, if he knows, if he's aware of, he's an educated man, we don't have to warn him. Well, asks the Gemara, okay. So again, we have Edom against Nara Murasa. They can claim, We had no idea she's going to get killed. So therefore, even if they turn out to be fakers, they will not get killed. Given the inu lemitli, hold it. If there's no way to kill the Edom, how could we even kill them? Her. Meaning, if there's no option of making them Edom Zomimin, havila edus shi'atu yachala zima. The Torah says, look, we listen to Edom, provided Edom come as Edom, full weight of Edom. With all the elements of Edus, one of which is a potential to become an Eid Zomim. If you cannot become an Eid Zomim, you're a non-starter. You can't testify. Right? So these Edom who cannot be killed because they can claim that they're not really Edom. Kol Edom v'chol Edus shi'at yochal azim on Edus that cannot come to the point of Azama, loshma Edus, doesn't qualify as Edus. Hochi namaka Amar, it's exactly what we're meant to say. Exactly what you said. Meteich she'en. Since they can claim, they didn't realize it, and therefore they're not going to be liable to death. We're just coming to make her asr on her husband. Afi ena nehereges davila edus shi'atech alazima. So you're right. She would not be able to get misa because they're lacking, right? Basic elements of edus. They're not. Not potential Edom Zayman, therefore they don't qualify as Edom. So again, what he's saying is like this. In sum total, what he's saying is if Edom come against Anara Murasa, she will never get killed. If she was an educated woman who did not get explicit Hasra, they can use that as an excuse, as a cover-up on their true intention. They could say, look, we didn't intend on killing her. Asks the Gemara, okay, so then how can we ever get Misa by the woman. So, if we have an educated woman who's not going to be requiring Asra, so how can she ever come to Misa? If there's no Asra, the Edom can just say, they can play dumb. If they can play dumb, they're not Edom, potential Edom Zemi. If not potential Edom Zemi, they're not Edom. If they're not Edom, then they can't condemn an Isha to death. So I'll leave with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Isha Chavira does not require a straw. I could ever get to the point of Misa. It was a whole chain of events. First, the Isha was involved with a man. And at that point, you're right. Perhaps their agenda is to make her Asr on her husband and no more. But then it happened again. She was already usher on her husband because of the first episode. So now nobody can claim that that's all they're trying to do, make her usher. She was already usher. Apparently, you're coming to kill her. That's why. You're testifying. You're coming to kill her. So now, it reverts to the standard Edus system. They can turn to Edom Zayman, and she would get killed if, in fact, their testimony is true and tried. Asks the Gemara, "Vaho yichaylam leima lo Israel boyal sheni bano." They can say, "No, I'm not trying to kill her. We're just trying to make her usher on the second, on the man that she was involved with." Halacha is that an isha commits znos, becomes the usher on her husband and on this man who interacted with her. That's all they're trying to do. Shezin suman boyal rishon. Oh, we're speaking that the second episode was involving the same man as the first episode. So she was already usher from the first time, so they can't claim they're trying to do that. Inami zin suman kriveh, or she was involved with a relative. In any case, shezin suman kriveh. In any case, she was usher to them, so they can't claim that as an alibi for their intention. Asks the Gemara, why are we focusing so much on an engaged woman? Maishna nara murasa denakad. Why do you pick that case? I feel in the suan nami. Same exact case would apply to a married woman. Same exact rationale. And you're right, Ella Afilu Hai, the point here, the chiddush is that even an engaged woman, the Layasu to say, is not yet sitting with her husband. So I think, you know what? What's the chance? What are the chances that the Edom are just trying to disrupt this relationship? There's not much of a relationship going yet. So it's not likely that's what they're trying to do. Who thinks about the fact that this makes her usher on the fiancé who's not really living with her? It's not really a factor on the table. The answer is yes, they can still do that. Yichayin Lemet, they can still claim, Lo Isha Balush Banu, we came to make her usher on this chasen, and this way they can get away with murder. Amar Rav Chisda. Okay, back to the Mishnah. there's any contradiction amongst the Edom, whether in Chakirois or even Bedikais, you know, the more secondary type of questions, the Edus is bottle. That's Ben Zakai Shita. Chachamim say, you know what, Bedikais actually will split into two categories, more crucial facts and less crucial facts. And the more crucial facts, you're right, there cannot be a contradiction, but in sort of very secondary fact, very, I would say, like a third level, because Chakiris is primary, Bedikah is secondary, and then you have a subset within Bedikah, it's even less significant to the actual core of the story. And that we say, even a stira between the Edom can still work. Amar Chista. Echad Omer B'Sayiv HaRogay, V'Echad Omer B'Ridran HaRogay. Okay, there's a conflict in terms of the exact event. Reuben says that the murder took place with a sword. The other eight said it was with a little hatchet or something. Ein ze nachen. That doesn't really work out. You can't really match up the accounts, and it's bottle. But if there's a disagreement about residual facts, echad oimer kelev shechirin. One says the fellow's clothing was black, the other guy says it was white, there is a nach, and you can still combine their testimonies because it's not really critical to the actual story. Okay? Meisvi, here comes a kasha. The pasuk says nachin. Right? Behine emes nachin adover, turns out to be confirmed, the edus was true. She nachin, has to be totally lined up. But, echadayim b'saif haragay, v'echadayim bariron haragay, there's a disagreement in terms of the weapon used. Echad Omer Kelev Shechirin. Oh, like the second example. He was wearing black. Echad Omer Kelev Lavan. He was wearing white. Ein ze nachen. That's not nachen. So in this price, we seem to think that even, insignificant facts are very critical. There cannot be contradiction on that either. So you have to derv chizda. It's a kashmir of chizda. And so the Gemara, no. Making a mistake. In the price, the colors are not related to the clothing the fellow was wearing, rather to the weapon. He killed him with a piece of cloth. He choked him with a sort of a scarf. The suda shachanokabai, the suda that he choked him with, which is exactly like the weapon. That's very critical. You have to have the color straight. The hainu saif arino is like the weapon that we discussed before. That has to be lined up. Tashmai comes another kash. Bryce says, echad eim sandal of shchirin. What about the color of his sandals, of his shoes? So one fellow claims it was black, echad eimer Sandalov, the murderer's shoes were right, Levonim, Ein Zanochin, that doesn't really line up. No, here again, we're talking about something very insignificant, not relative to the actual story, not relative to the actual crime, and we see a contradiction is a problem. No, there as well, we're speaking about the color of the actual murder weapon. What happened was he kicked him with his shoe, with his sandal, and killed him, so this sandal was the weapon. You have to know its color. Tashmai comes another kasha. Masu b'badak ben Zakai. Book titena, back to the Mishnah. Ben Zakai checked the, asked him about the, to confirm the size of the stems of the, right, of the figs. Thin, thick, right? And Mishnah says, well, there was a contradiction. And it's batal. Answers the Gemara, no. Again, it's very critical. I'm a Rami Bachama. We're not speaking about some random fig tree nearby. The story was that this fellow was accused of, not of killing him, but of picking a fig on Shabbos, which is Chilul Shabbos. Daloka Mikta is being killed because of that. So the type of fig tree is very relevant, very critical to the story. It's not just a residual fact. But Tanya, but we had a Kasha. The Eden told Ben Zakai in that story that he killed him underneath the fig tree. It's not Chilul Shabbos. Speaking about the murder that happened here. Elam Racham, and rather he says like this. How is it critical? He killed him with a fig branch. So the actual fig tree is the core, relates to the core of the story. And that's why these facts are relevant. Tashma, here comes another kash. Omer Lan, so Ben Zakai turned to the Edom and he asked, Te'enu Zu, look, this fig tree that was speaking about Ukzeo Dakin, Ukzeo Gasin. The stems were thick or thin. Te'enu Shcheres, Te'enu Levonis. Were the figs white or black, darker or lighter ones? You can't kill with a fig. Apparently, it wasn't the fig tree that was involved in the crime. It happened beneath the fig tree. He was just sort of peppering them with side questions. And since it generated a contradiction, boom, poof, there goes the Eidus. Whereas Rav Chisda told us, well, less critical facts are not so weighty. Elam Rav Yosef me ben Zakai leisevinish. Why are we asking for ben Zakai? That's the Mishita. Rav Chisda was speaking about the Rabbanon, who say, well, insignificant details do not qualify. But Rav Chisda, but ben Zakai picked it up a notch. Shani ben Zakai, the Bedikas, according to him, Bedikas, he gives it the same weight as Chakiris, Chakiris Mashvile, just like by Chakiris, if there's any sort of contradiction. Let's say location, which is not really so critical to the actual story. I mean, he killed him here, killed him there, it's not so, right? Still, contradiction cancels here as well. Any question regarding Vedikas as well is Mevatel Eidus. The bottom line is going to Ben Zakkai, very machmer, even Vedikas are critical and cannot be contradicted, whereas according to Rav Chisda, following the Rabbanon, Chakiris, yeah, but by Vedikas, depends. Critical Vedikas have to line up, but otherwise not. Now, who's Ben Zakkai, right? Man Ben Zakkai. Ilema Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai, was he the famous Tana? Mehava B'Sanhedrin, how can we say that he was involved in Sanhedrin and Dine Nefashis? V'atanya, we have a Braisa describing Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai's personal history. Kol Shnoisav, you know how long he lived? 120 years. Kol Shnoisav Shal Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Mehav Esrim Shem, lived 120 years. First 40 years, he was in business. Abarim Shana, Asak, B'Parkamati. Arbaim Shana, next 40 years, he sat and he learned. Educated himself, and then the next 40 years, he taught others. And was involved in Dayanos and the Bezn, Arbaim Shana Limit. Okay, so the career started the last 40 years. Right? So last 40 years of his life, he was a public figure. And a member of the Sanhedrin, Vitanya. Now, we have another Braisa. Arbaim Shana Koidim Churban Abayis. Already 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they no longer deliberated Dine Nefashis. Golso Sanhedrin, the Grand Sanhedrin left their station in the Lishkas HaGozes, in the Beis HaMikdash, V'yashvala B'Chanus, they sat in a different place, they held court in a place called Chanus in Yerushalayim. Why? V'amar B'Yisrael Ardimi, Lo'ima Shaleidono Dine Knosis, they can no longer be involved in penalties. Why would that be a concern? You can do that anywhere, as long as you're certified. Elosh le'donu dinei nefashis. They stopped dealing with dinei nefashis, which is connected to the Sanhedrin sitting in Lishkas HaGozes. It's not. Now, so knowing that 40 years before the Churban, dinei nefashis were suspended, we're going to see whether it is even possible, chronologically, that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was a sitting dayan when Dinei Nefashis were being handled. Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Hiskin, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was active as a Rav, as a leader. He made Takanis after the Churban. So clearly, he was not a public figure during the time of Dinei Nefashis, which had already been suspended 40 years before the Churban, because Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai's entire public career spanned only the last 40 years of his life, which started somewhere within that Dinei Nefashis suspension time, because he outlived the Beis HaMikdash. He was involved in teaching after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Ella Ben Zakkai Da'am. Apparently, it's not Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. It's another person by the name of Ben Zakkai. Chanan Mistab will even prove it from a different source. Because this HaGadaydech, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, if it was really him, Karlei Rabbi, so Rabbi Danasi, the editor of the Mishnah, would call him Ben Zakkai. It's not appropriate. Apparently, it was a different individual. Tanya, hold it, we have a Braisa, Masu Balak, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, books attain, we have a Braisa, which clearly describes him as Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai with his full title. So the more you write, Elam, the Mishnah is referring to the same man, but we are referencing different parts of his life. Talmud, the Yeshiv, and Rabbi Haba. Initially, he was just a Talmud, he was a junior, a member of the Sanhedrin, who was still sitting in front of his teachers. And sure enough, he had something to say. He proposed checking the Edom based on the fig stems. Bar Milsom stumbled at time and they accepted it. They liked it. And therefore it was established, Allah was established in his name, as proposed by Ben Zakkai. Chiyav Lamad. Ben Zakkai currently, and in fact, at that stage in his life, when he was still a Talmud, he was still on the learning end of things, his name was Ben Zakkai. k'talmud hayoshev b'fnei rabbi, like a talmud who's not yet been assigned the title rabbi. But k'yava limeid, when he graduated to the next stage, he started teaching. Then he got the title havakari lei rabban yochanan ben zakkai. He turned to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So that explains the whole confusion. K'kari lei ben zakkai, when the Mishnah refers to ben zakkai, that's calling him based on the earlier status, Al-Shem Demi-Kara, when he proposed this halacha, when it was accepted at that point. However, calling him Rechon Zakai, that's on account of later, Al-Shem Dehashta, on account of his current status. Ma'as abadak ben Zakai, ma'amil chakiris lebedikais. The Mishnah says, by chakiris, which are those seven primary questions, if any of the Edom claims not to know, poof, it's bottle. Bedikah is, well, if one says he doesn't know, even two of them say they don't know, it's okay. Maya filushlaim aimrim. What's the added chidush by saying, well, even if both don't know, pshita, obviously, ki amar, echad in yedei dusun kayemes. Once we know that one member of the team says he doesn't know, the edus is still okay. Ki amri beitre nami, edusun kayemes. Same thing with two. What's the difference of one or two? Why would the Mishnah have to articulate that point? Omar of sheish is a reshakoi, right, it's going on the first part of the Mishnah. Vachikah omar, the Mishnah means that by chakiras, when it comes to the more critical questions, there, if one member says he doesn't know, it's batal. Same thing if both don't know. Afilu shnayim aimrim yadano. Sorry, even if both say they know, so they have three members on the team, three eidim coming together. Two say they know, they're aware of the facts. Ve'echad oim en yadeya, and the third member doesn't know. The detail asked during the chakira, edusan b'teli disqualifies the entire team because it's all one entity, and if one is shaky, the entire team falls apart. Kemanka Rabbi Kiva, the Makish Shloisha L'Shnayim, going to Rabbi Kiva, who later on in Maseches Makis connects 3-2 based on a pasuk, and just like in order to make two Edom, if it's a team of two, you have to make them Edom Zayman as one, meaning you have to disqualify them both, make them Hazama on both. Same thing if we have three people on a team, you can't make two Edom Zayman and not the third. It's either all or nothing. And therefore, the third member, who's not aware of the base of facts, cannot be turned into Edom Zayim. And therefore, the entire group is disqualified. Amar Rava, Vayidusin Kayemes Katani. Hold it. You're saying that the Mishnah is speaking about he's missing the information on the Chakira and it's Batal, but the Mishnah says even if both don't know the answer, it's Kayem. It's the opposite. So it's going on a different case. Elam Rava rather says, Rava, Hachikava, the Mishnah means like this. Not only by Bedikis, if one is unaware, it's okay. Afilu b'chakiris. Even b'chakiris, when we know that if an aide claims not to know, it's batal. But let's say shnayim amrim yadano ve'echad amrim eini yadeya. We have three members on the team and two know, and third one doesn't know. This is kayama, so we keep the aides. Come on, look at Rabbi Kiva. Apparently, it's not going to Rabbi Kiva, who says that we have to disqualify all of them. They all have to know. They all have to become aid mizayim. No, we disagree with that. As long as you make two of the three Edom Zayman, they're considered Edom Zayman. And therefore, as long as you have two Edom, two out of the three, who can present the facts as is, we disregard the third fellow. Okay. Rav Kahana, Rav Safra. These two Amiraim, Tanu Sanhedrin Be Rabba. They learned Masechah Sanhedrin in the base Medrash of Rabba. Pogabu Ram Bachama. So they were approached by Ram Bachama. Amalui tells them, no. Anything interesting that you learned when you studied Sanhedrin by Rabba? Amalui Mayam Risuba Be Sanhedrin. What have you discussed? Be Sanhedrin Be Rabba. In such a great man's yeshiva, you must have come up with some real interesting observations, interesting chidushim. Amr Leisa, they responded, Umay Amrina ba, Sanhedrin Gridasa. What's did they ask, even without the Rabbah Yeshiva factor? You have anything that you don't understand? That was their sort of response. Anything you want to. Umay Kashla, what's the problem? You have any Kasha? Amr Leisa says, actually, you know what? You touched the chord. I have a kasha for you. Ready? Mahadik Tani. Take a look at the Mishnah. Mamin Chakiris Labadikas. Difference between Chakiris and Bedikas is like this. Chakiris is, that's very critical. Echad Oimeni Adeya, do some Batel. If even one member of the team claims not to know the fact, it's Batel. But by Bedikas, Omar Echad Oimeni Adeya, Avilu Shnaim Oimim, Eino Niyoidim, it isn't Kayamas. If he's unaware, or both unaware, that's okay. His question was, why? Why are we treating Bedikas any less than Chakiris? Michti, Idivi, Idi Deraisi. Chakiris is Menat Torah. And same thing with Bedikas. We just had a pasuk. Nachain, right? Things have to line up. So what's the difference? Maishna Chakiris and Maishna Bedikas. But Chakiris was so strict. But not by Bedikas. Why? I'm related to the respondent. How can you compare the two things? But Chakiris. Amar Echad Eini Adea Dusan Betel. You know why? By Chakiris. If you don't know, it's Batel. The Havila Eidus. Shiyat Yechal Azima. Torah says, in order to qualify as an aid, you have to have a potential to become an aid zayim. And that only happens if you present yourself with all the facts, the place, and the time. Otherwise, it's not aidus. And therefore, if you're not aware of place, time, etc., you can't get started. But by Vedika is, Omar Echad Men Eni Adei Dusan Kayemes, even without knowing the facts, you're okay, because it's not critical to the core of your presentation. Eidus, even if you don't know the size of the fix, but you have the date, the time, right? It could still generate hazoma, and therefore it works. Omar lehu, so he responded, ooh, that's great. Yocham risuba, if this is the observation that you came up with in your yeshiva, tuva risuba, psh, that's really good. Looks like you really learned it well. Amr lehu, so they responded with humility. Because of your good eye, because of your complimentary attitude, Amrina Batuva. It's as though because of that, we consider it to have learned a lot and learned well, because of your compliments. Min Zihuse Demar. Rather than if you would have taken a negative approach and challenged us, we certainly would have come up empty. So thank you for being so kind and encouraging. Lo yam risa bov lechad, we wouldn't have come up with anything. Okay. Echad aimer. So back to the Mishnah, we have a slight discrepancy in terms of the testimony offered by the individuals on the team. One fellow says it happened Beis Nisan. The other fellow says it happened Gimel Nisan. You say it still stands because maybe the Gimel Nisan fellow was unaware of the fact that Adar was a full month. He thought it was a missing month, it was a 29-day month. So we can sort of reconcile that difference and still believe their story. Adkam. Now, until what point in the month can we still excuse him? You know, it takes a while for him to pick up on the news, right? But how far do we allow this to go? Amar Adkam, Amar of Acha Bar Chanina, Amar of Asher, and Rechon Ad Rubi Shal Chodesh, until, you know, past the halfway mark on the month, until the Rovi of the month. But at that point, he should have known, you know, what day of the month it is. So if they're still disagreeing, it's Batel. Apparently he's lying. Amar Rav of Hanan HaMetan, you know, we have a Mishnah as well to support this point. Echad Oimim B'Shloish. So we have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven speaks about a story that happened Gimel Nisan, Shimon about Hei Nisan. Batel. Batel. Why? Maybe they're speaking about the same fact, the same story. Why are they 2 days apart? Why is he 2 days later? Because he didn't realize that the last 2 months were full months. He thought there were, 29-day months. Reuven knows about the two Iburs, two full months in a row, but Shimon, he was out of things. He didn't know about that. Why can't we say that? Why can't we use that to sort of put together the two stories? Oh, this proves of Yechanan's point. Once you get, past halfway through the month, you know what's going on. So it's impossible that he's still not knowing about last month, 2 months ago's configuration? No, says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Perhaps a person can still be unaware, even late in the month. But but once they blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh, that everybody knows. Eventually it gets out. So b'chad shipur amar detoy, it's possible that he missed one shofar 1 month, so he's 1 day off. But trei shipur la amar detoy, it's impossible. Hard to believe that he missed two shofars and he missed two, two ibers, and therefore we assume he's just fabricating the story. However, Rabbi Yechon's point that past Roiv HaChodesh, generally a person catches up on the news, isn't necessarily proven from our Mishnah. Okay, this takes us into the whole sugya of Kiddush HaChodesh, fascinating sugya coming up tomorrow. In the meantime, we learned about sources for Hasra'a. Interesting halacha about Edim Zayim and claiming dumb about what they were about to do, and therefore that absolves them. We learned about Edim who cannot present Chakiras are bottle. Edim who cannot present Bedikas are not bottle, but if there's a Stira and Chakiras, they're bottle. Stira and Bedikas, Kondra Ben Azai, Ben Zakai, who turns out to be Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakai. Edim is bottle, Kondra Rabbanon. Well, Bedikas are split into two categories. More critical, relevant facts are, cannot be contradicted, but the other ones can. We learned about the importance of Chakiras because that generates a potential Hazama, which is a critical element of Edus. And we learned about explaining a discrepancy in terms of the days of the month based on an awareness of the Ibur HaChodesh. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.